Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation 2 will begin in verse 18. And Brother Lucas, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Revelation 2 and verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Well, it's been a few months since we left off on this series on the book of Revelation, so I thought we'd get back at it. So we ended here in this verse, in verse 19. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. So may we, like the church in Thyatira, never grow weary of serving the Lord. He said that their last works were more than the first. So if you hold your place here with me, if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, a verse reminding us once again that we would not grow weary serving the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, 58, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast. Unmovable, always what? Abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is what? Not in vain in the Lord. So may we not grow weary of serving the Lord. As the days darken, may we not let up in our service for the Lord. May we be faithful. Notice in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6, sometimes when the battle gets fierce, people tend to grow weary and just want to sit down and not be in the battle. May the Lord help us. Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your what? Your work and what? Labor of love. That was the case with Thyatira. God was not unrighteous to forget their work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints, and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the what? Same diligence. Diligence is the opposite of growing weary. Diligence, show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto when? The end, verse 12, that ye be not what? Slothful. So we don't want to grow weary in our serving the Lord. We don't want to become slothful in it, but followers of them who through faith and what? Patience inherit the promises. So this word to the church in Thyatira was a good word for us to consider today too. So some questions for us today is, am I still growing in the Lord? Am I still learning from the Scripture? Questions for us. And to do that, we've got to use it. It's like, the old worldly saying is, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. Well, they might be talking about the use of our arms or legs, or it might be a certain knowledge, maybe in math or something. Like if you don't use it, maybe geometry, or something that might be in your field, it might not be, but when we don't use it, we tend to forget it. And so the thing that keeps the Bible alive and fresh is using it, is sharing it with other people. And then that's what keeps us searching for the answer. Something was wrong with the Comcolor machine. That's the machine we print on. And on the screen, it was using a word to describe a part that I had never seen come up on the screen. And I thought, what is that? And so I'm like most people, instead of trying to read the instructions, I try to look all through the machine here and there and everywhere and thought, what could that possibly be? And so when all else failed, I got out a DVD of the machine and searched down through there, and finally, when it showed me where that part was, I thought, well, I knew where that part was, but I never would have called it that, what they called it. So anyway, it's back working again. Anyway, praise the Lord. But so are we growing in the faith? Many times what really causes our growth is when we experience problems. And none of us want to experience problems. But that's what sends us to the Word of God, searching. The Word of God and Scripture verses are like climbing a mountain and trying to find a handhold somewhere, a foothold, trying to get up that mountain. And the Scripture has become so much more real and precious to us as we face situations where we need them. Now, a rope and a hammer and shoes with cleats or spikes on them might not be that important to you until you're climbing a mountain. And then you want a strong rope. You want the hammer. You want all the other things. I don't know all the names of the things you pound into to the rock and so on. But that's what keeps us growing in the faith. So that's a question for all of us today is, are we still learning and growing from the Bible? Or have we kind of stagnated? You know, it's kind of like a swamp. What's the difference between a swamp and a lake? Well, a lake has fresh water coming into it and leaving, and a swamp only takes in. And it looks pretty gross, doesn't it? In the summer when it's hot, a swamp does. So we need, for to be fresh, we need to be taking in and giving out the Scripture. In the physical realm, we become stronger through exercise, through movement. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 9, what exercises please God? Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23. What can we exercise that will please God? Jeremiah 9:23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in what? His wisdom. So an exercise just of worldly wisdom does not please God. Neither let the mighty man glory in his what? His might. So just physical might itself, that's not something that impresses God. Let not the rich man glory in what? His riches. So worldly wealth. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So there's no amount of money we can offer him that's going to impress him. Verse 24. But let him that glorieth glory in this. Okay, here it comes. That he what? Understandeth and what? Knoweth me. That's the first thing that God delights in, is the people who have sought him and found him, that we know him as our Savior, that I am the Lord, which, what? Exercise. Here's the word. I am the Lord, which exercise. What does God do for exercise? What's the first one? Loving kindness. Have you ever thought of that as exercise? I got to get up this morning and do my exercise. I am going to go out and Show loving kindness. How many calories does that use? Well, it may use a lot. And it may not. I don't know. God says, I am the Lord which exercised loving kindness. And then what? Judgment. Well, that's a strange word because this world doesn't like to hear that word. And what? Righteousness in the earth. For in these things I what? Delight, saith the Lord. So those are the type of exercises he delights in: loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. So are we doing those things? Because if we do these things, we are going to grow spiritually. These are spiritual exercises we need to show. And if we do these things, you know, a lot of people to get exercise walk. People walk by our house, you drive down roads, people are walking, sometimes jogging, but for the most part, I just see people, a lot of people walking. How can we walk with God in loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness? How can we walk with God doing these exercises? Well, let's go to a man who was doing that, Genesis 5. Genesis 5 and verse 21. Genesis 5 and verse 21. Let's look at a man who was doing that. The Bible says here, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch what? Walked with God. After he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch what? Walked with God, and he was what? Not, for God what? Took him. We're going to see in the New Testament a little more, because at this point, he's walking with God and God took him, but how? Exactly why? Well, let's go to Hebrews 11. Gives us some more information on that. Hebrews 11 and verse 5. Hebrews 11 verse 5. And by faith, Enoch was what? Translated, that he should not what? See death. So we know when God took him, the Bible tells us that God translated him and that he didn't have to die. So when the Bible says in the Old Testament that God took him, we might say, well, he died then? No. The Bible says Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he what? Pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a what? Rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God did not take Enoch out of the world because he's doing something wrong. God took Enoch out of the world because he was doing something right. And Enoch becomes a picture of the rapture, the catching away, someone who doesn't have to die. And we might be the generation that experiences that. The rapture, there's going to be a generation, a time of Christians that do not have to die, but will be caught up together with the Lord in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So Enoch's life is a picture, an illustration of the rapture. He didn't have to see death. Now, when you translate something, if you translate English into Spanish, you're translating the word from one form to another. You're not destroying the word. You're putting it into a different form, just like here that God did with Enoch. These sinful bodies of flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Notice in 1 Corinthians 15, Enoch had to be translated. He had to be changed into a different form because these bodies of flesh, these corrupt bodies of flesh, cannot inherit the kingdom of God like they are. 1 Corinthians 15:49. 1 Corinthians 15:49. And as we have borne the image of what? The earthy, we shall also bear the image of what? The heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit what? The kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. So we're not all going to die. There's going to be a generation. It might be ours. We're not all going to die, but some then that are still alive will be changed. Verse 52, in what? A moment. There's going to be no time for people to get saved at that point. You know, there's some people, I think, they think, you know, hey, when the Lord comes back, I'll just quick say a prayer and get saved. There's going to be no time for that. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on what? Incorruption. And this mortal must put on what? Immortality. So we're going to be changed in a moment. So Enoch was walking with God, and so he's a picture of the rapture. So the question for us is, are we walking with God like Enoch was walking with God? Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, this passage also describes the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So who are those that are asleep? Well, that's those who have died in Christ. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which what? Sleep in Jesus will God what? Bring with him. Now, if Jesus is bringing our loved ones that have died, that know Christ, if he's bringing them with him when he comes back, where are they now? In heaven with him. They're not there in that grave. They're not there in that casket. They are with him. Verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are what? Alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. And by the way, God used Paul to write this book, and he is putting himself in that category. We which are alive and remain. So that is the proper focus of every generation should be looking for the Lord to come back in our day. I know Brother and Mrs. Verberg, for many years, were looking forward to going up together in the rapture. So were they wrong? No, they were not wrong. That is the biblical perspective we should have. We should expect the Lord in our day. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then who? We. See, he's putting himself in that same category. Then we, which are what? Alive and remain. He's putting himself in that same category. We, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together. And that's the idea of the word rapture. It's the catching away. Shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So, what was it? Hebrews 11:5 says, Enoch pleased God. What was he doing? What can we do to please God in our lives? What can we do to give him delight? We saw from Jeremiah 9:23 and 24 that God loves loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. Was Enoch doing those things that God delights to exercise in? Well, let's look and see in Jude 14. Jude 14. Jude 14 says, and who? Enoch. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord, what? Cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Do you see why God used him as an illustration, as a picture of the rapture? This was his message. The Lord is coming with his saints. Verse 15, to execute what? Judgment. Well, that's the thing that God delights in doing. Remember Jeremiah 9:24? I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. That's what Enoch is talking about. He's coming to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are what? Ungodly. Do you remember the third thing that God delights to exercise in? It was righteousness. It was loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. Enoch's message is he's coming to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Do you get the idea? He's preaching that people need to live a righteous life. He keeps using this word ungodly, ungodly, ungodly. Well, then that would make us think that, you know what? We need to seek a life of righteousness. If we are ungodly, we need to become godly, and we can only become godly through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and then following him. You go on in verse 16. It says, these are what? Murmurers. And then what? Complainers. Do you remember what we talked about in Sunday school? The present world situation. Now, people are rising up against their governments. The Netherlands, Sri Lanka. We've seen it in Canada. We're seeing it here to a certain extent. An unrest. Around the world, there's an unrest. People are tired of the people ruling over them. In the United Kingdom, rising up, people are tired of hypocrisy and in leadership. They're looking for a leader. And as we talked in Sunday school, this could be the time, setting the stage for the Antichrist. As we saw, he's going to come along with, and his policy will cause craft to prosper. He's going to come along and be able to correct the financial problems of the world. He's going to come in with peace. All these countries, wars and rumors of wars. He's going to come in as the man with the answers for financial prosperity, for no war. And the people of the world are going to rally behind him. But right now, verse 16, they're murmurers, they're complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaking great, swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. So people just filled with conceit, filled with themselves, patting themselves on the back. That's what we see happening right now. And that was a time like when Enoch was there. He was saying these very things to the people of verse 16. He was in a generation of murmurers, complainers, people walking after their own lust, people patting themselves on the back, great swelling words, having persons in admiration because of advantage. That was the exact crowd, verse 15, that he was saying to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So while we're waiting for the rapture to happen, and as we think about the church in Thyatira, what did God say about them? He knew their works. And then it speaks it again at the last, and the last to be more than the first. Could God say that of us, that we are faithful? Notice in Titus chapter 2. So as we are waiting for the rapture to happen, we have seen that the proper perspective of the rapture is for us to expect it in our day. Expect the Lord at any time. That's the biblical perspective of it. In Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching who?
Us.
Teaching us that denying what? And ungodliness and what? Worldly lust. We should what? Live soberly. Then what?
Righteously.
Well, that was one of those things that God delights in exercising in righteousness. Righteously and what? Godly in what? This present world. So we can't say, well, it was easier back, you know, in yesteryear. No, God wants us to live this way in this present world. This present world of what? Just like with Enoch. They were murmurers. They were complainers. They were living for lust. Verse 13. Looking for what? That blessed hope. What is our blessed hope? Well, it goes on to say, and the glorious what? Appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, what is that? It's the rapture. It's the appearing of our Savior. Verse 14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from what? All iniquity. And what? Purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of what? Good works. Now, that does not say jealous of good works. It says zealous of good works. What's the difference between jealous and zealous? Well, if you're jealous of someone, you would like what they have. But if you are zealous, that's ambition. That goes right back to what we were talking about at the beginning in the church of Thyatira. Let's go back there, if we could, to Revelation 2 and verse 19. God wants us to be zealous of good works. Not jealous of what somebody else is doing. He wants us zealous, ambitious. In Thyatira, in Revelation 2:19, I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy what?
Works,
and the last to be what?
More than the first.
He starts out in verse 19, I know thy works. He ends with, and thy works, and mentions, and the last to be more than the first. This was a church in Thyatira that was not letting up and just saying, oh, it's getting so bad. What's the use? Nobody listens to us. Nobody cares. They're just wicked. You know, the government's wicked. The people are wicked. What's the use? No, this church was not giving up. And God doesn't want us to give up as well. He wants us zealous, ambitious, of doing the work of the Lord. Notice in Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. So, how is our exercise program coming? These things that please God. In Colossians 3 and verse 23. And whatsoever ye what?
Do.
Do it what? Heartily, as to who? The Lord, and not unto men. So, how do we work on our job, whatever it is? In whatever we do, how do we do it? Well, the Bible tells us here, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. Why? Verse 24. Knowing that of who? The Lord ye shall receive what?
The reward.
The reward. So sometimes, you know, we may think, well, you know, my boss isn't paying me the greatest, but, you know, so I'm not gonna strain myself. Well, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye what?
Serve
the Lord Christ. He's our boss. I mean, this life is about who? Him. Our lives should be about him. I mean, that's why people should know of us as Christians. What does that mean? It means a Christ one of Christ's Christians. That's one of Christ's children right there. We should be known in that way. So when we put it in that perspective, it changes everything. When people know that we are serving the Lord, where everywhere we go, we bless people in the name of the Lord. They should hear about God from our lips, and that we would have a good testimony. And I pray that we will. So once again, back in the church of Thyatira, Revelation 2:19, I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. I pray this week that no matter how dark the days get, politically, spiritually, I pray that we would have something to smile about. I pray that we could have the glory of God. I was reading this week in my Bible reading about Moses asking the Lord to show him his glory. Could we do that this week? Could we ask the Lord to show us his glory? For the purpose of what? Showing it to others. And I pray that God would use us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, you'd help us in these days not to grow weary. I pray that you would help us to be able to have the same things said about us as the church in Thyatira, that we were serving you faithfully at the beginning, and at the end, we were serving you faithfully even more than at our beginning. Lord, please inspire us. Please, Lord, give us a vision. We know that without a vision, the people perish. Lord, give us a vision of how each of us can serve you this week in loving kindness, in judgment, in righteousness. May we remember Enoch. He was walking with you, exercising those things, and that is when it happened. He was caught up in a way to be with you. Father, we know you could cause that time to happen this week, even this very day. Father, may we be found faithful. And Lord, if there should be any here that have not yet been saved, help them to realize that you want them to repent, to turn from their sin to you, and that the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, born of a miraculous virgin birth, who lived a perfect sinless life and died on the cross, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree, that he wants to save each and every one today. I pray you'd help us, Lord, not to be weary serving you, but to be zealous, to be inspired, and to be filled with thy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.